group of people who have misplaced their love lives and living with regrets and trying to solve those problems. It's whimsical and it's very Swedish, I mean, in the sense of European, has a European sensibility to it. It's extremely sophisticated.
It's a very sophisticated sex farce.
I say that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is indeed a sex farce.
You've got several just absolutely confusing love affairs going on. You know, several couples gathering for a weekend at a country estate. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, you're up in Sweden. You have, you know, basically an almost endless summer going
exactly.
on.
And it is a midsummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that really informs not only the characters' attitudes and actions, but also, of course, the storyline and the music.
Yeah.
So.
And it has that that sort of Midsummer Night's Dream sense of intoxication and perfumed air and people being subjected to forces that are stronger than themselves and passions that are unleashed in the country. Yeah.
Mismatched couples who uncouple and create new couples. And yeah.
Exactly. It's a waltz, right?
Yes, exactly. That's right. You know, the score written in basically almost entirely in three-quarter mm-hmm. waltz time.
Mm-hmm.
Witty dialogue and basically came over, or did any of it come over intact from Bergman's film?
That's a good question. I mean, aspects of it, the sense of it was, Hugh Wheeler basically reimagined it entirely, but it's certainly inspired by it and captures the flavor of it. But in terms of literally how much is taken,
right.
I'm not quite sure.
I'm not either. I'd have to actually sit down and look at both of them to see. Right. Well, all right, Sarah, you've waited long enough. Tell us about Desiree. Desiree is, I guess you could call her the lead female role.
Mm-hmm.
She is incredibly complex, by far the most complex character that I've ever had the opportunity to play. She is witty and intelligent and is very at ease and in the presence of an audience and loves to perform.
yes.
Right. But when she's in the company of people that she's close with, she's a whole different character. She's raw and intentional and just very real. So when she's with her daughter, when she's with Frederick, as we see later in the show, she just becomes a different kind of person. And you get to see that real side of her. So it's fun. She's one of those diverse characters that gets to do a little bit of everything in the show.
And, almost every character in the show has those kinds of moments,
mm-hmm.
don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, as I'm directing it, this is the second time for me directing it, I begin to appreciate more and more how beautifully structured it is, because every character has a very specific arc and very specific journey. Mm-hmm. I think that the only character who really knows who she is and what she wants is Petra. You know,
and she's not necessarily a likable character anyway, is she? As I remember her,
I like her.
Do you?
Me too. She's funky.
But you have so much sympathy for Desiree and her situation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Petra. I mean, but for Petra, there's some sympathy for her when you see the one scene where she's combing Anne's hair and she gets her wrist slapped for speaking out of line about Henrik, and
right.
And then you get that real, that strong moment of what the class system is really like and what her life is really like.
Yeah.
So you can develop some sympathy.
Yes,
for her.
These are the wealthy privileged class that we're talking about here. Yeah. So yeah,
exactly.
And some who are not those who serve.
Indeed.
Even people who have no knowledge of the Bergman film or the Sondheim musical will have heard at least one very big pop mm-hmm. hit from this song, from this musical.
Mm-hmm.
And they may remember Judy Collins singing it big hit record in the mid-70s with Send in the Clowns.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost think that does the show a disservice. It's not all about that.
No, indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. In fact, some people have trouble
and
figuring out what the song is about. I mean, and when you dig deep, it's a stunningly brilliant song, and it is absolutely perfect for the moment. And but yes, you're right. It is one of many many songs in the show. I don't think there's a weak moment in the show.
No, there's not.
It is one jewel after another.
It was interesting that got pulled out. As somebody said, this could make a good top 40 pop hit.
Yeah, I know.
And improbably enough, it did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, How many people are in your cast?
This 18.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you have what kind of accompaniment?
We have a full orchestra. Yep. We have Amy.
It needs a full orchestra.
It needs we you know, if you're going to do the show, you need all those strings. And,
oh, yeah.
And, so Amy Muchnick is conducting the orchestra, and it's in collaboration with the opera program here at MSU. So we have we're using their instrumentalists, and we also have music students in the show as well.
We keep getting back to the idea that this is almost an operetta, and a thought just popped into my head. Samuel Barber's Vanessa, which is, of course, a much more serious story, mm-hmm. but it certainly seems to have certain parallels. And it's kind of I think of them almost in parallel terms, A Little Night Music and Vanessa, just because of the storyline.
Right. I'm not familiar with
okay.
it.
So, yeah. In Vanessa, an older woman basically does meet someone from her past who comes with a much younger consort.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So yeah. It's, yeah. You know, there are certain similarities.
When was that written?
It had its world premiere at the Met in 1958, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
it's all very dour and very serious. And,
right. And it doesn't, yes, and it doesn't have that tone. I mean, because if you think of the title, Little Night Music, Ein kleiner Nachtmusik,
mm-hmm.
and so my association with another artist is Mozart, and it has a Mozartian flavor to it in many ways. Again, it's a sexual farce. You can't forget that it's still a comedy. Mm-hmm. But it's a very there's melancholy in it and regret in it, mm-hmm. and redemption and joy and all those things.
Well, Sarah, you talked about how complex a character Desiree mm-hmm. is. And mm-hmm. she feels all of those things through the
right.
course of the show.
Absolutely. She's got all those moments in the show. And that's one of the best things about getting to play this character, is getting to laugh with people on stage and then also having those moments of heartbreak and watching someone walk out of your life thinking they're going to be gone forever. And then we get to see that moment of redemption at the end, mm. and it just makes it all worth it. It's incredible.
Tickets range from $12 to $18. Again, this production of A Little Night Music, Stephen Sondheim's musical, at Coger Theater on Missouri State University campus inside Craig Hall. It opens next Thursday, April 6th, and will run Thursday through Saturday, April 6th, 7th, and 8th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday the 9th at 2:30 p.m. You can call 836-7678 or visit MissouriStateTIX.com to order tickets in advance. And is the show selling already?
Oh, yeah.
I would assume that it would, yes.
It's selling really well.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Coger Theater, I think, seats, 400 or so?
Right around there.
So
mm-hmm.
you're only doing four performances, so you are advised, if you want to see this show, to call 836-7678 or visit MissouriStateTix.com. Well, thanks to Desiree, Sarah mm-hmm. Harding, and thanks to director Bob Westenberg.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having us, Randy.
Pleasure. Anything else people need to know about this show, do you think? Or
It's getting the full treatment. It's just beautifully designed, mm-hmm. the costumes, mm-hmm. sets, lights. It's going to be a gorgeous spectacle on top of everything else. It should be fun.
Large cast and a full orchestra led by Amy Muchnick, and mm-hmm. And you're doing it upright.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for being here.